well, we're going to have some testimonies this morning from some beautiful ladies. So why don't you all be seated? I'll just ask Sister Ruth, and then following Sister Ruth, Sister Shanti, to come and testify this morning. Sister Ruth.
Happy Mother's Day to all moms, all biological and non-biological moms. May God bless you this day, and may God continue to increase you. When Sister Mel asked me to speak today, I was like, no way. That was my first answer. I was like, there's no way I'm speaking on Mother's Day. And then she said, look, I think just go think about it and let me know. And when I went home that day, and I think that was just last week, when I went home, I started thinking about it and I was praying about it, and God just kept convincing me and dropping verses into my spirit. And one of the verses was from Revelation, where the Bible says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And I thought to myself, well, I have been given a testimony, and it is my responsibility to share that testimony. And I had been praying and asking, God, I want you to use me. And at that point, I started thinking, I just felt like God was asking me in my spirit, I have given you a testimony to share, and you don't want to share that. That is like evidence-based. So if you're not ready to share what is evidence-based, then how will you tell them of something they can't see? And how will they believe something they can't hear? So I thought to myself, well, I have a responsibility, and this is the place for me to start, for God to be able to use me. And then I thought, well, I think this is another one that dropped into my spirit. And it's from Luke 19:40, where the Bible says that if they don't praise me, if they keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. And I thought to myself, I've got breath in my lungs. I was created for this. I was created to give glory to God. I was created to worship. I was created to praise. Why should I give up what I was created for so that God can raise stones to worship him? And so at 1 a.m., I thought, okay, fine, I'm convinced. So I texted Sister Mel and I said, yeah, I'll do it. You got this. And so she asked me to speak about praying for our children. And as a mom, I love my kids to bits. Like those who know me, I can tell the world apart for my children. But from the very beginning, before I had children, I am a registered nurse, and I did midwifery as a postgraduate. And, I saw a lot of different things, and by then I didn't have kids, and I thought, this is really scary. And I thought to myself, how do I ensure that when I have children, they are normal? I just wanted a normal child. And so when I was pregnant, I started praying, and I had the craziest prayers. I would pray for my children to have hair. I would pray for my children to have nails. I would pray for my children to have a nose. I literally prayed for every system that I knew as a nurse. And at the end of the prayer, I would say, and God, everything that I have forgotten, I pray that you will create it. And so even today when my kids say, oh, I like my nose, I say, I pray for it. And so I learned to pray. And I know, I mean, with parenting and challenges in life, things change. And sometimes our walk with God changes. And so it got to a point where maybe prayer just became just the thing that I say in the morning, just a quick prayer, sometimes not even in words. I just close my eyes and I pray in my spirit. But then as the children continued to grow, I started hearing I don't know whether to call them testimonies, but I started hearing people complain about teenagers and how hard it is to bring up teenagers and how challenging teenagers can be. And I thought to myself, what am I going to do about my children? What is it that I can do to protect my children? I can't be there with them every step of the way. When they're in school, I am not there. I don't know what they are facing. And if they face tough things, I don't know whether I can fight for them, really. And so I thought to myself, what is it that I can give my children? How is it that I can love my children so much that I can be at peace and I can be rested and I know they are safe? And I thought, there's no other weapon than prayer. And I started praying for my children. And so I gave my children back to God. When we give gifts to the people that we love, we give the best of the gifts. And so your children are the best gift that God could give you. And so I thought to myself, there's no better place to put them but to give them back to God. And so every morning I would wake up, and every evening, and every time I think about my children, I would say, God, I give my children back to you. They are my gift, yes, from you, but I hand them over to you, because if I parent them, God, I'm going to break them. I'm either going to smother them and spoil them, or I'm going to be so hard I will break them. And so every day to date, I give my children back to God, because He is the only one who can protect them. He's the only one who can fix them. He's the only one who can watch over them. My prayer every day, I usually pray, God, just like you looked after the children of Israel, you had your cloud over them that the enemy could not see them. You had the fire in front of them to destroy everything that was on their way for them. May you cover my children with your presence, that the enemy will not see them, and that in front of them, every enemy will be destroyed in Jesus' name. And so, do I have everything figured out yet? No. I don't have all my ducks in one line yet, but I don't give up. Every single time I think of my children, not just in the morning, not just in the evening when I go to bed, when I think of my children at work, I pray, God, wherever they are, may you watch over them. God, whatever it is they are doing, may your spirit be upon them. And my prayer, this is my prayer for my children. I usually say, God, keep them in line. Because I can't see them, you can see where I can't see them. Keep them in line. When they can't hear you, nudge them back into the line. If they are resistant, slap them back in line. Because I do not want the enemy to touch them. I do not want them to listen to the voice of the enemy. There's a lot of voice out there. There's no other place to hide your children than in the hands of God. And you will know they are safe. When they are in the hands of God, they are safe and you are at peace. Because then you know that you don't have to worry about them. You know you can trust them because you have entrusted them in the hands of the one who is able to guide them. You've entrusted them in the hands of the one who can lead them, who can put them in a straight line. So if your children are in the hands of God, then you know they are safe and you're at peace. You've got nothing to worry about. What can I tell you? Every day, give your children back to God. They're not yours. They've just been gifted to you. You're carers of them. But then you also have a responsibility. You need to have a relationship with God for yourself. Sorry. You have a responsibility to walk with God for yourself. Because if you don't have a relationship with God, how can you hand over your children to someone you don't know? Can you leave your children in the hands of a stranger? So you have to know God for yourself so that you can be able to hand over your children to God. Because if you know God, you know how much He can save. And then you know how He can protect. Then you know your children are safe. Sometimes we feel inadequate. Sometimes we are like, God, I'm not even worthy coming to you. I'm not worth to stand in your presence. But the Bible says that he clothes us with his righteousness. He clothes us with his glory. So how about you pray that God clothes you with his glory so that when you appear in his presence, then you're worth to be in his presence, because your own righteousness is like filthy rags. But you need God's presence. You need God's glory over you so that you can be worth to stand in front of him to petition for your children. So you need to have a relationship with God. There is much I can say about praying for our children, but I know you all love your children. But remember, the Bible says that the enemy is like a roaring lion. He is walking around looking for whom to devour. If your children are not covered by the presence of God, they are prey. So if your children are exposed, it's your fault because you haven't covered them. It's your responsibility as a parent to cover your children with the blood of Jesus, in the presence of God, with the presence of God, so that they can be safe. Because if they are exposed, the enemy is not asleep. Give your children back to God, the God who hears, God our El Shammah, the God who sees, God our El Roi. So even when you feel lost, when you don't know what to do, he knows it. Give them back to him. God bless you.
Praise God. What a wonderful testimony. I was asked to share by Sister Melanie, and thank God for giving this opportunity. Happy Mother's Day to all, especially to my mom who's here. And this is one of those times when she's there to witness what I have to say. So every Mother's Day, I used to cry. Because what happened was, I was in 2008. I had my first pregnancy. We were also very happy, and my mom was there. We had a family get together, and we went to Scotland, and we were very happy. And that night, I had a ruptured ectopic. My pregnancy was early. But it was in the wrong place, and it was on the left side of my fallopian tube. So my mom literally, she dragged me into hospital, because I'm a medical doctor, very stubborn, I don't listen, and I make my own diagnosis. So I was very hopeful that it's not an ectopic pregnancy, why should I have? And that night, my mom and I, we sat together, and we prayed, and it was just a shock to me, because I couldn't believe what had happened to me. I couldn't believe that the Lord let this happen. And my mom prayed, and she said to me, she just said, I don't know what, I'm not a medic, just trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way. There's a song like that. And she kept praying over me. And then the next following year, I had another ectopic, which was, the cause wasn't known. So I lost both my tubes. So there was no way I could get pregnant. So we prayed, and we prayed. So we went through cycles of IVF, in vitro fertilization, fertility treatments. Every single time I would come back, and I would cry when it is not done. So from 2008, and then my mom said, I will not take this from the Lord. I will not let you go empty-handed. I will pray. And I will pray, and I believe in a miracle-going God. And she said to me, come to India, because, you know, I want to look after you. You know, mothers have this tendency to all prepare. They know exactly, when you look at their faces, they know what you need, and they prepare things for you. So she said, come home. I'll prepare stuff for you. And there is this man who prays in the Holy Spirit. I believe miracles can be done today. And and I believe that God will open you, your doors. So, and so I went in. And we took 3 months off, me and my husband, and we went in and we prayed. And one sermon day, I saw lots of people being healed because faith comes through healing. And I believe that the Lord can do this today. And I kept thinking, Lord, you know, tubes or no tubes, you're a creator, you can do what I... But I went for my last cycle. This was my sixth IVF cycle. My body was exhausted. I was exhausted. The hormones were all about. So I went for that last cycle. I said, I'll give one try, Lord, please. And then that day, while I was in prayer, the man of God was praying and he said, you will be healed. You'll not come barren in the name of the Lord. And then I didn't feel anything different. I was just praying and I saw the name Elijah come into my vision. I was praying. And God satisfied that dream. And on 4th of October 2013, from 2008 to 2013, Elijah was born. And I praise God for that because, and I thought to myself, maybe I just saw something, I imagined something, because this is my sixth IVF cycle, there's no chance. And I said to the Lord, if you give me a boy's name, it's going to be a boy. And it was a boy, and it was called Elijah. And then I said to the Lord, Lord, if you had healed me, anything that puts in my womb should come back, and it should be fruitful, because the Lord heals. And I thought, look, it should be fruitful. So I had two more embryos in the fridge. And 2.5 years later, I was filled with faith because the Holy Spirit, the Lord healed me. So I went in very confident and I told people, I'm going to come back pregnant. Just keep the day for me. I'm going to come back pregnant. And Lord gave me Zachary. And you know, the Lord just doesn't leave you. And I want to encourage somebody who's going through the wilderness today. And what God taught me through my experience of motherhood is, the Bible says, the mother can forget her child, you know, but I will not forget you. And God has taught me day in, you know, the process begins when you actually become a mother to bring them up. And as sister said, that begins. And God has taught me how sacrificial mom's love could be. Even if they forget, I will not forget you. Anybody who's going through wilderness, this is my promise, that God will not forget you, no matter what it is. Praise be to God.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mums this morning. I hope you have a wonderful day. We want to honor you. Today is a day where we celebrate our mothers, the women in our lives, the women who have encouraged us and mentored us and taught us, poured their life out for us. So if you are one of those people, we give you honor today and we hope you have a beautiful day today. You may be seated. Of course, I'd like to give honor to both my mother-in-law, who isn't here at the moment, but has always loved and encouraged and cared for me, and also my mum who's here. Happy Mother's Day, Mum. I love you. And I'm just so grateful for the sacrificial and unconditional love of a mother. And my mum gave me that, and I'm so grateful. Being a mother is the biggest privilege of my life. And I want to thank my three very precious boys for making me a mum. Today I'd like to share with you from the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. And it's just a small story in the Bible, but I want to go through that story with you today. It's about a widow who was also a mother. So if you could turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, we're just going to read from verse 1 to 7. It says, one day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you? Elisha said. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil, she replied. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. A little while ago, my husband posted a picture on social media, and he commented on it that it reminded him of me. And I think that picture is up there. This is me. Anyone else fit into this category? Because I am one of the people who the empty light comes on and I'm like, okay, I'm fine. I've got another day or two or however long I'm right. I think there's just another destination that I can get to when my car looks like this. Anyone else? Yeah. Who? Definitely not. Who's one of those people who get to like a quarter of a tank and panic? This is definitely me. But I wonder today, how many of us don't just do this with our cars? How many of us live our life like we're running on empty? Do you have days where the end of the day just feels so far away? You're not sure how you're going to get to the end of it. You're consumed with your to-do list, the needs of others. And today, mothers, I know that you know what this is like. It seems like everyone else needs something all the time. And don't get me wrong, it's lovely to feel needed and wanted. It really is. But sometimes we get stretched just so thin that just one more request and we're not going to make it. Anyone heard of the mental load? The mental load, it's explained as involving the intangible burden of keeping in mind the never-ending details, logistics, and schedules of family life and making sure everyone gets their needs met. Typically, this often falls on a mother's shoulders. You go all day just to fall in bed at night, knowing that you have to do everything all over again. And I understand that this is not just mothers. Any of us can feel totally drained in any way, physically, emotionally, and mentally. You're on the go from work to appointments to children's activities, groceries, dinner, everything. It can be a challenge to keep that smile at the end of the day and be that soft place where our children need. It can be a challenge to do that. Maybe on top of all these things, you have to carry an extra load. Maybe you have health problems or sickness in your family. Maybe you're caring for elderly parents or children with disabilities. Maybe you're grieving today. Maybe there's extra pressures at work and you just feel empty. And this is where we find the widow in 2 Kings, empty and lonely. And the scripture tells us that she had lost her husband. He was a member of the group of prophets. And this is mentioned several times in the Old Testament. And it seems to be it was a group of men who were leaders and who refused to bow down to other idols. They were men who devoted themselves to God and served him. So this woman, she had lost her livelihood. We know in the Old Testament, in the ancient world then, widows found themselves in very difficult circumstances. They had little opportunity to meet their financial need, and they had to usually rely on family members or their sons. And it seems that the sons were too young to be able to care for her. I'm sure before she went to the prophet that she had done every single thing in her power to be able to care and provide for her family. I'm sure she sold anything that was of worth to be able to live just another day. But here we find her desperate, out of money, no more ideas, no more hope. The scripture says now a creditor had come, threatening to take her two sons as slaves. What do you do when you feel empty? This morning I just want to share three simple things that this woman did. They are, she cried out. The second one is she reached out. And the third one, she poured out. So in the verse 1, we read, one day the widow, she came to Elijah and she cried out. She cried out. When we feel empty, we need to cry out. And that sounds so very simple, but is it really the first thing that we do? When we feel empty, sometimes we just try to pretend that everything is okay. Just like with my car, I'm fine. I can get to one more destination. It's all good. We know if we risk that and keep on going, the car could stop at any time. We try to hide our loneliness. We try to fill up our lives with other things. We try to look to other people to fill those empty places, and that only leads to further disappointment because no one can fulfill those needs except for God. Scripture is full of references to crying out to God. In Psalm 61, verse 1 to 3, it says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." Psalm 57, 2 says, "I will cry unto the God Most High." There are so many scriptures. We read about Peter when he walked on the water with Jesus, and when he looked around and he saw the storm and he started sinking, he cried out to Jesus and he said, "Lord, save me." We know blind Bartimaeus, he cried out to Jesus. This word cry out, it means a cry of deep distress, a cry out for help. And that's what this woman did. God hears your cry. And we know he hears it because scripture tells us that he is close to the brokenhearted. And when you're close to someone, you can hear them, even if it's a whisper. Even if we can't cry out to him loudly, even if it's just a whisper of our heart, God hears those cries. Verse 2, Elisha says, "What can I do to help you?" How can I help you? God wants to be specific. He wants us to be specific and tell him what we need. The second thing Elisha asked, he said, "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" What do you have in your house? We need to be reminded of what we have. We need to look inwards and we need to ask ourselves, what is it in my life that I need to see? God wanted the widow to see what she already had, even if it was the most insignificant thing that she had. It was the only thing left that she had. But God wants us to be part of his solution for our emptiness. And the only thing that widow had was a little bottle of oil. What do you have? Nothing. Really? Do we really have nothing? Would that really be our answer? He didn't ask her, "What do you wish you had in your house?" He said, "What do you have left? What do you have? God wants us to use the little that we have, the little bit of talent that we have, the little bit of time that we have, the little encouraging word that we have, that little smile that we have. That's what God will use and bless, what you have left over. The oil you have is the oil that you need. The strength that you have, even it's a little bit, is the strength that you need. So she cried out. The second thing she did was she reached out. Elisha said to her, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. So the second thing she did was she reached out to others. We need each other. She was told to go ask your neighbors for their empty jars. Borrow as many as you can, not just one. As many as you can. We are placed in a body of believers for a reason. And we need each other. We need the community of God's family. We need to reach out. They might not need to know every single detail. I'm sure the scripture doesn't say, but I'm sure she didn't go to every house and explain her whole history up to that moment. Elisha just said, go and borrow empty jars. So she didn't have to say everything, but she did have to say something. She had to ask for help. She had to ask. If people don't know what you need, how can they help you? But maybe you're in a season today where your life is full and you don't have much need. But when someone else comes to you and reaches out to you, give that listening ear and give without judgment, without conditions, because we don't know what miracle is in store for that person. So what did she have? She had some oil, she had some neighbors, and she had some empty vessels. The next verse says, then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside as it's filled. We need to reach out, but then there's a time, like the scripture says, where we need to shut the door and we need to let God work a miracle. There's a time for reaching out to others, for sharing with others, and that's important and we need it. But there's a time when that stops and we shut the door and let God work in our lives. The ones who were there with the widow were her sons. Her children were watching. They were participating in her faith, in her obedience to what the prophet told her to do. She involved her children in the miracle of God. You know, this is hard, but it's okay for our children to see our vulnerabilities and to participate in what God requires. It's important for them to see the hand of God working. They can't just see the miracle and know it's a miracle if we shield them from the reality. To know God is our provider, we need to know our own lack. It's okay for our children to participate in the work for our God. The third thing this lady did is she poured out. Verse 5 says, so she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. She poured out. She didn't have much, but what she had in that little jar, she poured. When you are running on empty, when you feel empty, it doesn't make sense to pour out. It makes sense to hold on tight, to be stingy with our time, to keep our talents, our resources to ourselves. We don't have enough to pour out. Do you think she would have felt a bit silly with that little pot of oil, pouring it into that next pot? That would feel strange and silly and pointless. It can be scary to pour out when we don't have much, when you have so little to offer. But God is calling us to give from what we do have. Just that small pot of oil, if that's all I have, God requires us, he's telling us to pour it. An encouraging word, a text message, a phone call, sharing a scripture, just a little thing. It may seem like nothing at all. But remember when the widow said, I have nothing except a pot of oil. She had something small. Keep pouring. Keep pouring out what you have. Even when it seems impossible, pointless, keep on pouring, because we read the miracle only happened when she poured. As she poured, she gained more. And the kingdom of God, the kingdom that Jesus came to the earth and preached about, remember, he taught so much about the kingdom of God, but it was an upside down kingdom. It didn't make sense. He said to love our enemies. Before, they were told an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Jesus turned all of that around. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will come back to you. Good measure running out. These things don't make sense. But Jesus, this is Jesus' kingdom. This is what he requires. We need to be generous with our love, generous with our time, generous with our encouragement, even when you feel empty, even when it feels like you need those things. When you feel empty, keep pouring. And when you pour, God will work in your life. When we pour out, we experience God's strength, his provision, his grace and his joy. But it's only when we pour. She kept pouring. She had her boys on her mind. She had a purpose. She knew God would work a miracle. If you wait until you feel full to pour, that's not when the miracle happens. If you wait until you have something wonderful to offer God or others, if you wait until you're seen and known and appreciated, then I'll do it. You'll never experience God's power in your life. As you pour, it becomes more. You know, I'm sure we've all felt this. If you feel discouraged and you sit and you feel sorry for yourself, you're going to feel more discouraged. But when you feel discouraged, and if you have the opportunity to reach out to somebody, that lifts you up just a little bit, just a little bit. Keep pouring. Don't stop pouring. And older saints here in church, we need you. Don't stop pouring out for others. There are people around who need you and who are relying on you. So what do you have to pour out today? Something you think is so small that it doesn't even count to mention it. Something small that's just a seed in your heart. A little gift, a little idea. If you've got a little bit of time, a little bit of talent, whatever season you are in, start pouring out. You know, if I was your enemy and I didn't want you to use your oil or your thing for God, I'd try to make you feel like your oil wasn't enough, that it wasn't good enough. I'll try to make you feel that it wasn't worth anything. Why bother even trying? And that's what our enemy wants to do with us. We can't compare our oil with someone else's. Someone else might have a bigger pot of oil, but it doesn't matter. God has asked us to pour out. It's not the amount of oil that determines God's blessing. It's not how talented or smart I am. If God calls us to pour out, he will be the one that works the miracle. If we think I'll pour more when I get more, that's not the way God wants, because God's way, again, is that it only becomes something. It's only his miracle when we start pouring. So three things. She cried out to God. She reached out to others. And she poured out that little bit that she had. And God performed a miracle in her life. Verse 6 says, "Soon every container was full to the brim. 'Bring me another jar,' she said to one of her sons. 'There aren't any more left,' he told her. And then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left.'" Live on what is left. God gives us more than enough. Are you in a pouring season right now? Do you feel like you're pouring out? Are you giving of yourself? Then keep on giving. You might be tired. Maybe no one notices what you're doing. Everyone else seems to have it easier right now. Keep pouring. God is working a miracle greater than you can imagine. He is blessing you right now. He's providing for you in ways that you don't understand. He's giving your kids a testimony in this time. He's deepening the faith of your family at this time. One day you will have a house full of oil to live on. He'll provide what is left. The Word of God says, "My God shall supply all my needs. He will supply all my needs according to His riches, not our riches." So you made it through your tough time, and all along you were giving of yourself, the little you had left, and you didn't realize that all that time you'd been gaining so much. She didn't get her husband back, but she had jars of oil to keep herself and her boys going. They could live together. She didn't lose her boys. God supplied. When we pour out, we get little blessings along the way. God strengthens us. Those tough times when you kept pouring of yourself, you gave your children something that money couldn't buy. Maybe you gained a friend in those times that you reached out to someone and cooked a meal for them. Maybe you gained an opportunity to share the gospel as you smiled and shared a kind word to the cashier at the shop instead of just rushing to the next thing on our to-do list. You see the investment you made now into some young person's life as they flourish and they minister in the ways that you never seemed possible. You have scriptures now that are so close to your heart because you read them in those difficult times, and they bring you back to the goodness of God in your life. A million little miracles that we have along the way, we've poured out and God has returned us to us. We get to live on what's left. Have you lived through the tough times of emptiness and now you've got something to live on? Testimonies after testimonies after testimonies of God's faithfulness and goodness. Don't be afraid of that empty place today, because that's where God does His best work. God doesn't just want to fill this building. You know, we look around and it's full, but He wants to fill our hearts. He wants to fill our empty spaces. So just like this simple little story of the widow with the oil, cry out to God. Reach out to others around you and keep pouring out from the little bit that you have.